You just cut it at the helmet.
Yeah, just cut it at the "How am I not dead yet?" and then just cut.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Just hard cut, no music or anything.
I'm playing Spelunky, and I was like in the. I made it to the jungle, and it was one of the like random levels where half the level is submerged in water, and the bottom half is like just filled with piranhas, including this giant piranha, which I've never actually been able to kill. But I had just been like swarmed by thousands of piranhas, and they like I somehow my stunned corpses had killed them all by I don't know. But then it's like I had one heart left, and I was at the bottom of the map. It's like, wait, how have they not killed me? Welcome to the Game of the Year deliberations for the Scotchcast. This is also known as episode 23 for the week of December 28th, 2013. My name is Conrad Thurbleton Kirby. Joined with me today, Matt Shinboy 630 Leslie.
I thought it was going to be the 29th by the time this shit got started.
It's been a long time coming, and I guess we're waiting for the last minute to start it. Also is Ian Squiddle Saunders? Sanders? I always forget this.
Oh, you had it. If you would not have said Sanders, you almost did it. But I'm proud of you because did say Saunders.
I did have a friend who, as kids, did Joey Sanders. I guess shout out to him, even though I know he doesn't listen to this.
Sure.
I'm glad one of my guesses was on the mark. And also, Scott Duran Warner, I think.
If somebody steals my identity, I'm suing your ass.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can sue my ass anyway because they probably stole your identity for shopping at Target.
My social security number is 95.
It's 123456.
I bet you did not start with 95.
No, but we're here to, I guess, talk about our favorite games of 2013, or at least games that came out in 2013.
RIPD number one!
No. Well, I mean,
jeez, giving it away right away.
I guess Squiddle or Shimbo, you know the best about because we talked several different ways of how this is going to go down. Would you like to explain to the folks how this is exactly going to go down for each of us?
Sure. Well, you three guys are going to give your lists for top 10 games of this year. Then I'm going to give the only list, as in mine, for top 10 games of this year.
The one list that matters.
Yep, the one list that matters. And then what we are going to do is we are going to agree upon three games as a collective that we think are the top three of this year. And then from those three, pick an overall number one.
I just want to point out, I think that's a brilliant idea to pick three and have four hosts.
Yep.
So one person is going to be pissed.
No, because if you have each person nominating one game.
If you don't pick a shitty game, then one of us won't be pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
Divekick, number one game.
Yep. So what I think we'll do when we get to that point, because we didn't really discuss this part, is in creating the list of games before we call it down to the three, what we'll probably do is maybe like each of us take our own top three, and so we're gonna have basically 12 games then, and then cut that down to three.
At most 12, because there could be overlap.
Sure, at most 12 games, and then cut that down to three, and then
I like that.
Move on from there.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if it's not on our top three, it's probably not going to make that list, so we'll just start there.
I'll just leave RIPD on my list, and then that'll be easily cut off.
And then, right. There make everyone's job easier.
All right, so who's starting
I guess,
the show with then? Or
thank you for volunteering, Duran.
God damn it.
You do this to yourself.
All right. So I guess I'll just get right into it then.
Let's say just game, one or two sentences, next game. Nothing
sure,
too crazy.
Sure. So my the ordering of this was really hard. But number 10 was Pokemon X. Also, I should probably go ahead and say, I don't know about for you guys what your standards were. I did not finish all of these games.
Okay, that's fine.
But they were at least I played enough of them that I could at least say like this game I felt like was better than these other games that I played.
Actually, I'm going to take a page from We Can Confirm, because our way of doing it is very similar to theirs. I'd suggest anybody who enjoys gaming podcasts and is looking for more, check out their podcast. But basically, as we talk about the games, we'll discuss them a little bit if there's stuff to talk about. So are you adding Y on top of Pokemon X, or is it the same game, right?
No. Well, I mean, they're close enough, but I'm only saying X because that was the one I played. But like that was on the list because I have bought every single Pokemon game that has come out, or one of every single Pokemon game that has come out, since Gen 1, and haven't played any of them more than like through a couple of badges since Gen 2. And this is the first time that this was kind of going to be the last, like, if I don't get into this, I'm done with Pokemon. And granted, I haven't finished it yet because other games did come out and kind of distracted me from it, but I totally got into this game. Like, they made some much needed changes, definitely, you know, graphically, but not just there, to make this game a lot more appealing to me. One thing I think that helps a lot is that they kind of wiped the slate a little bit with Pokemon and gave us a whole new set again. But it's a really I feel like if you are a 3DS owner, that's that and, you know,
I mean, it's sort of like Fire Emblem
are like the two games you should probably.
It's sort of like the argument with Zelda, right? It's just like it takes the same old concepts, but then also puts like almost a 21st century, modernized.
Yeah, like we're like Gen 6, I think now, and it's finally just now being modernized, and I'm glad it is because again, this was going to be the last Pokemon game that I bought, and now I'm totally back on board. The rest of these won't be nearly as long. Saints Row 4 is number 9. The only reason that's not higher, I feel like, is because I did kind of burn myself out on Saints Row marathoning through the last half of 3 with Shin Boy prior to 4 launching, so I didn't enjoy it probably as much as I should have, but I picked it up more recently and I'm having a lot of fun with it again. Number 8 is Tomb Raider. Apologize for the baby sounds in the background.
You're just crying that it's not higher.
I kind of am too now that I'm looking at this because Tomb Raider is a fucking great game.
This is locked in.
I love what they did with Lara in this. They finally, like, the story was still a little crazy. It got kind of out there, similar to the Uncharted games. You know, that was obviously taking their inspiration from the old Tomb Raider games. But for the first time, they actually gave Lara some character and gave her a personality and kind of made you care about her as a character. Beyond the dumb marketing that they did of like you being her protector or whatever the fuck that
marketing
shit
was terrible.
That was the worst.
These are the last days of Tomb Raider.
Number seven.
I don't even remember marketing for it.
Again, I feel like
probably for the best.
I feel like a lot of these games should have been higher on the list, but there were so many of these that some had to go lower, unfortunately. Number seven is Gone Home. Anybody who's listened to the Giant Bomb podcast have probably heard enough about this game at this point, but I just want to say, like, it was a really good game. The story was delivered in an interesting way. I liked the voice acting and the I liked just kind of the like the real nature of everything. I think Patrick put it well with like this not being, you know, some big epic video game story. But it is kind of a big deal to those characters, and you see that through the way the story is told and the everything that you find along the way. But I will say that I agreed with, I think it was Jeff that was saying that the ending was kind of a cop out, and also I didn't particularly care for the like kind of ghost thing going on. I think that was just dumb. Number 6, BioShock Infinite. Shin would love that to be higher on my list, but it was a really great game. It was just the only negative thing I really had about it was I felt like it relied too much on combat. And as great as the game was, and as great as the story was, it's unfortunate that games still feel like they need to have combat to be relevant these days. Like Gone Home was a good example of showing that games don't need that. And I just wish BioShock would have gone that direction as well, because it definitely had a really interesting story to tell that kind of, in some ways, the combat made sense, but in a lot of ways, it detracted from the story they were telling.
Like they did a good job of making like some quality arenas, but then there were a couple of times, especially near the end, that I got stuck on, I guess.
The DLC, we're talking about the arena DLC?
Well, not just that, but apparently even the was it Lost at Sea? Is that what
Burial
it's called?
Burial
at Sea. It's still very combat heavy, and that's just really unfortunate.
The second half of the first half, I guess, if you want to call it that, is.
It's just unfortunate. I haven't played Minerva's Den, but it sounds like it was very much more like story focused and story heavy, which coming from the Gone Home people makes sense. I guess I was hoping for something more along that lines and something that kind of delves deeper into the mythos of Rapture. And it sounds like that's just not what it is. Moving on. Number five is Grand Theft Auto V. Also, I feel like this one should have probably been higher, but I haven't played enough to think that it was better than the games that are higher on the list. But it is a fucking great game. As somebody who has played a lot of Grand Theft Auto games, but never really played the stories, I pretty much only ever just, you know, it was just all about the mayhem.
Yeah, GTA 5 made my list as well. I'm not sure if it made anybody. Did it make anybody else's list?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I agree. Like the new spin they put on it for mechanics wise was definitely cool. Just being able to tell three different stories.
And not only just that, but also like it kind of, they did a better job of making the characters feel a little bit more like real people. And so like the mayhem that you used to cause in the old games doesn't fit these characters, and it makes you less inclined to really do that and makes you want to just play through these story missions and see kind of those different stories play out.
Well, I mean, like the mayhem does make sense for like Trevor. So it was nice that they added the character actually.
It doesn't actually, because even with Trevor, like even as unhinged as he is, there's always a reason for everything that he's doing. And so like just the kind of random, like drive around on the sidewalks and murder everybody just because that's fun. Like that's for Saints Row now. Like that's not the direction that Grand Theft Auto is going anymore. And I'm okay with that. I'm glad that Saints Row exists because of that. Number four is Assassin's Creed 4. Again, most likely that game would be much higher on the list, even from four, if I'd have played more, but I've only gotten, I think, not quite even halfway through it. But it's for the same reasons that Giant Bomb picked it for their best surprise. I think that's why it's so high on my list, because while I didn't hate three like everybody else did, it was definitely the lowest point, I felt like, in that series, even lower than Revelations, which I also didn't hate.
I mean, Squiddle, you own a PS4, right? Like, you were pretty excited about AC4.
No, I don't own a PS4. Not yet. I will probably get one later in 2 years.
But you played.
I did play it. Yeah, I did play it. I was very, very surprised by taken back by it when I first saw it. I was like, this is definitely not an Assassin's Creed game that I've played before. So I really did like it. But once I. The only thing that turned me off.
Chasing sea shanties wasn't a big excitement for you.
It really wasn't as much as whoever it is. I can't remember on the squad liked that so much. For me, when I saw one, I was like, I don't really like running around and catching them, but I caught some of them. So, but the ending kind of turned it off for me, in my opinion. But that's just
me. Unfortunate. I hope it's not. I hope I don't hate it.
No. It's a. I can't say
we'll just leave it there. We'll just leave it there.
Yeah,
we'll just leave it there. The next game, number three, is actually okay. Yeah, number three is The Last of Us. I was thinking about making a last minute change here, but
no,
I haven't played enough of.
You said it. Set in stone now.
Yeah, I haven't played enough of The Last of Us to make it higher, unfortunately. But god damn, that game is great. And even then, like we were talking about this before recording, but. I'm apparently still not into the great part of the game, and I'm still having a lot of fun with it. Well, as much fun, I guess, as you could have with The Last of Us, because goddamn, is that game depressing. But like, just the combat in it is really good. The acting is some of the best I've seen. The animations are great. The game looks better than Assassin's Creed 4 on the PlayStation 4.
We're cynic here. I'm sure he would spend the next 20 minutes talking with you. Yeah.
Not in terms of what?
IQ image quality.
Well, sure. But I'm just saying, like, just the attention to detail. It's gorgeous game, even for as depressing and run down as that environment is.
Better look good for how poorly it runs.
I thought you were going to say depressing and run down as the PS3 is. So
that too, yeah.
The original PS4 is a hideous system, so.
I actually like it. Number two.
Spider-Man phone.
Number two is Resogun. Oh, okay. You said PS4. Number two is Resogun. God damn, is that a great game.
Hell yeah, it is.
I'm so glad that I went, because I played it originally. I played it like on Rookie, and I wasn't having that much fun with it. I didn't understand why Shinboy loved it so much. And then, like, one day I was just kind of bored, and I bumped it up to the medium difficulty and hopped in there before going to bed. And that is a game changer. Like, that game is so much fun. I ended up just marathoning through, like, all of the intermediate levels up to the last one. Still haven't beat that fucking thing. The boss is a dick.
Which one? The last boss on 05?
The last boss, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He's a fucking asshole. But, God, that game is... I agree with... I forgot who, I think it was Patrick was talking about on the Bombcast. I don't know that it has the staying power that something like Geometry Wars did. But I don't need staying power for a game of the year. And that game is definitely up there. It's fucking great.
I mean, Shimbo, did it make your list at all? Or?
Oh, I did.
It better have.
I'm just.
If you own a PS4, this game better be on your goddamn list. That's all I'm saying. And number one on my list, which is not going to make anybody else's list here, is Super Mario 3D World.
Okay.
Because I think you're the only person in the world that owns a Wii U.
I'm at least the only person on this podcast, or that has ever been on this podcast.
I think will be on this podcast.
Probably. but I think that says something for me personally, because, you know, anybody who has listened to this, you know, going back, knows my feelings on Super Mario 64 and general 3D Mario platforming. And for this game to have managed to pull that off so well in environments that are actual, like, landscapes and not spheres that don't require precision jumping, that definitely says something. Like, they did a great job of... They did a great job of translating what they accomplished with Super Mario 3D Land on the 3DS, and, like, taking that and putting it onto the big screen, removing the 3D slider effect, which helped a lot with the jumping, and still making it completely playable and just work. And the cat suit definitely doesn't help it or doesn't hurt any. Also, bringing back a lot of the old suits was great. Like, having the Tanuki suit back again, and the Hammer Brothers suit and all that, it's... I do have to say, I agree with everybody else. Like, the first half of that game does kind of drag. I felt like it was actually probably like the first two thirds. Like, the Bowser stuff was pretty short. The like, from where the game gets good, it was pretty short, but it was really good. And I think I might actually in this one finally go back and get all of the stars and see what the craziness is after that they always include. But that's my list.
Sweet.
So. I don't know if Thurb's ready yet, so we'll just toss it over to Squiddle.
Oh, damn. Okay. All right. So let's see. My list. It's locked in. I can't change it. But
I'm actually super interested to hear what Squiddle's list is, because of all of us, he is usually the one that, like, during you got the wife and kids, Shinboy, you got college. Basically, it's Squiddle's time for games is different because he's just constantly working and sport and rocking a girlfriend, right?
Yeah, that's very true.
So let's hear what starts 10.
All right, so 10 is going to be Hotline Miami. I know this was released last year, but the only reason that I bought it is because it was made available on the Mac. And so once it was purchased, absolutely love that game. I love the game and I hate the game. I love the game because when I start playing it, it's great and I get just drenched in the whole storyline and want to know what the hell's going on. When I'm not playing it, I really don't want to dedicate the time because I know I'm going to get addicted to it and want to keep going. But I do love the game. It's a very good game. Very good art style, and the music is phenomenal.
I definitely love that. Since, and I'll talk about Gunpoint in the future, but that was one of the games that I was amazed to find out was made with Game Maker, and like Gunpoint as well being one of those games. But yeah, Hotline Miami was one of the games that was made with just like by a couple people on Game Maker, which is super interesting, I feel.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool, actually. All right, so number 9 is going to be Devil May Cry. I last time I played a Devil May Cry game, it was when the PS2 was launched. I don't remember which version that was. And
that was the first Devil May Cry.
Was it? No, then it was must have been like later on because I'm trying to remember. From what I saw when they were doing quick looks, or not quick looks, but they were just doing like a marathon of gaming it. That wasn't the one that I played. Mine was different, so it may have been the second one that was released when I finally got into it. But I liked it, and I guess people hated that version, but I thought it was pretty cool because it was the only one I ever played. This one I really, really enjoyed.
Oh, I think it was DMC2 or Devil May Cry 2. That's the one most people hate.
Okay, that's the one I liked. So that's gonna be a foreshadowing of my entire list from here for you guys then. but I really liked it. I thought that it was storyline was kind of wonky, but I liked the combat. I liked somewhat of the story, like the
now
underlying family tie. I like
that game.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to replay that game as El Dante?
Yes.
There is a mod, I don't know if any of you have seen it, called El Dante, that replaces all of the dialogue with the Spanish dialogue, and it totally sounds like a telenovela. It gives everyone, like everyone, mustaches.
That sounds awesome.
And places like Taco Bell ads and stuff just everywhere.
Oh, that sounds great. And and this is why I love PC gaming, guys. Right there. There you go. Number 8 is for me is Hitman Absolution.
Okay.
I've always liked the Hitman series because for me I like stealth games. I like games where I can I love sitting there for about 10 or 20 minutes and watching people as they move around, getting my perfect attack, what I want to do to execute and however long that takes or combo, if you will. And Hitman Absolution did not provide that for me because it did not really rely on you having to wait for the perfect execution. There were many different ways of execution. And so you could kind of just pick one and go with it. But the storyline.
I just want to say, I see what you did there.
Yeah, exactly. But the storyline was so well done, I think, as opposed to the ones of the previous games. I really, really enjoyed that. And definitely looking forward to them making another Absolution 2, because I don't know.
The Absolute Absolution?
Yes, it's based on the vodka. He's going to be attacking the vodka distillery.
I play it.
I mean, like, I have to give the developers credit because they definitely changed the way you normally play Hitman. Like, mm-hmm. From what I've heard, in the previous games, there's always like an open world and guards would react to you and whatnot, but it wasn't like you were navigating through a hostile environment. It definitely felt like it was a more passive open world, but this new one, they definitely turned up the meter some and made it a lot more hostile.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have to rely on – I mean, you really couldn't rely on I'm camouflaged in a butler's clothing and then get around as much. It was really – if you're camouflaged, you're going to be seen pretty quick.
Like that'll buy you some time, but that doesn't save you.
Yeah, that's not going to save – you can't walk from one end of the hallway to the other just because you look like you belong there. I mean, that tattoo in the back of your head, that's going to give you away pretty damn quick. Man, a little bit of Texan just came out of me there. Oh, I'm so sorry about that, guys, if you're listening to this.
Better apologize.
Yes, be shameful of the fact that you're from Texas.
I like the game because I love stealth games, and this was like one of my favorite stealth games that came out this year that I played. I want to point that out right there. Number 8 is Hitman Absolution for me. Number 7 is antechamber, or okay. antechamber, or however it is you want to say it from wherever you are in the worlds. This was my... I'm going to equate it to Portal 2 in puzzle style, because there hasn't been a good Portal game in a while.
Well, the difference between antechamber and Portal 2 is that Portal 2 is good.
Well, specifically, Portal 2 was a game made by people who understood how to make games.
Sure.
Yeah.
Antechamber was a great concept, and
the way
antechamber was made by a guy who knew how to wear a suit that was pink.
I like puzzle games that have a simple to understand set of rules and difficult puzzles within those rules.
Yes.
Not a really hard to understand set of rules with simple puzzles within those rules.
But
and that's what antechamber is.
Sure, and even with my lack of time that I have to dedicate to gaming, I found this game to be very. I liked the difficulty that it threw you with the different, you know, spoiler, different kind of guns. Sorry.
It's a Game of the Year podcast. If they're listening to this, expect spoilers.
Like, exactly, come on. Exactly. But the only letdown for me in that game, and I will the only letdown, is there should have been more the story should have been more broadened than how it ended, I think. In my opinion, there were things in the game that you expected to come back in the end at some point that really didn't.
And I'm going to call you out. I didn't really see much of a story per se, as much as like a parable almost. Like the guy's just like telling you different like stories and meanings, and it's more like a learning thing. I didn't really see any coherent story.
For me, where the story was chasing, and it's been a while since I played it, but that. That damn little thing that keeps on like
viscous goo thing, yeah.
Yeah, no, not the viscous goo. The block.
Yeah,
just kept moving throughout like the little tiny area that you saw. Like what I never understood what that was for. That little thing bugged the hell out of me. And even after beating it, I was like, what was the point of that? And it still bugs me to this day that there was nothing that played on that. So for me, that was the story. That was my personal story. I was wanting to know what that was, and it didn't tell me that. So that's why it's number 7 on my list.
All right.
So
bad game.
Number 6 is Daiva Kika.
Daiva Kika.
I hate fighting games. I've never been a fan of the only fighting game that I've ever loved truly in my life. That I think is better than Dive Kick and will always be better than Dive Kick. And any fighting game that comes from here into infinity, I just forgot the name.
Well, I've never heard of that game before.
Damn. What was that one that came? The original. Wow, I really suck at building up a story and then exactly Man. Hitting it on the head, don't I? Here,
blue balls right here.
The original Killer Instinct for the 64. I thought it was one of the best fighting games ever created, regardless of what Jeff fucking Gerstmann says. Sorry. My opinion, best fighting game ever. And Dive Kick is number 2 on my list, because you do not have to know all the, you know, the combos and everything. You don't have to really learn it. You just play it, have fun. And yeah,
what's great, though, is like you don't have to know all the combos, but you still have to know all the characters, because you still yes. have to know how they play. Like, there's still just
not even. So when I got the game, I decided to play with what's the character's name that can move in his pitch when he does the dive? The psycho dude. It's all wrapped up in the bandages. I can't even remember his name. No, the one that's all wrapped up in bandages with the wings. I didn't know how to play.
Stream.
Is it Stream?
I know he's supposed to be a Stream monster.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Tier. Anyway, continue.
And so I, when the game finally came out, we all played it at PAX, watched them play it, you know, on Giant Bomb and everything. When that game came out, I picked that character for my first character to play. I think when I was playing against Shin or playing against someone, and the character was not that hard to really get used to. You figured out after your first couple, like, you know, deaths, okay, that's what he does and that's how it works, and then just went on from there. So. You can figure it out, but you're not going to be a master of any one of them until you've played it for a while. I will say that.
Well, that's what I mean. When I say, like, you have to learn all the characters, I meant, like, if you want to get good at the game, like, there's still enough depth there that you you need to know your opponent and how they play.
Yeah, I will. And the thing I like about the most is what many people have said before. It's not just – you're not just playing the game. You're playing the opponent with the mind game, because it really is the point, like, are they going to jump now? If they're faking the jump, are they really going to jump? And that is probably my favorite thing. When I played it at PAX – I played with, I think, Dive or Kick mostly, and then I decided I'm going to switch it up to Redacted and just do it that way, and lost. I lost the entire thing to Shin. I was playing him, lost the entire thing. That's and it was
Dr. Scholes, too good.
Dr. Scholes against Redacted, and at that point I was like, okay, so not every character is the same, but it is pretty fun to play every character.
So, I feel ashamed that my character is Mr. N.
Mr. N's great.
Mr. N's pretty good.
It bothers me that that is my best character.
Now, I have a question. Is Mr. N based on Gabe Newell? Is that what it's supposed to be?
No, he's based on Marn.
Oh, okay. I thought it was based on Gabe Newell somehow.
Yeah, that game, Dive Kick made my number 7 as well, but it's, I could definitely agree with all the points. My favorite fighting game before this was probably Bushido Blade, which is a really old PS1 game, but it plays along the same things of, like, if you take one hit, you're in trouble. You're slowed. It's probably like you lost one of your legs and you're limping. If you take two hits, you're out. Yeah. And so that same sort of just like it's all down to the mind game. The controls are very basic, but the fight is very tense.
Yeah. And I like that I'm not sitting there getting my ass beat, you know, for at least a good 3 minutes before the end of the game. I do like the quick, you know, one hit, one dead. And that's it. So that's Dive Kick number 6 for me. Number 5 is going to be Saints Row 4. I've loved the Saints Row series since I originally played it on the Xbox when the first one came out. And this one, I think, for me is no different. I really did like it. The only thing that I didn't like is I think it became too much of a parody of itself, which is good if that's what you're looking for. And I guess I kind of expected it, but I was hoping maybe a turn for more... I don't want to say more down to earth. I would like to say more, not so much. Well, we're gonna riff on everything.
At this point, it's gonna be a little hard for them to go down to earth.
Yeah. Because Earth gone. Yeah. Funny. Oh, spoilers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I think part of it was like they were sort of victims of their own success. I guess is a good way to put it. Where like it's everyone loved Saints Row the Third. And so how do you, like, improve upon that? You just make the same jokes, I guess. Like, they definitely kept it fresh.
Yeah. But I'm still the kind of guy, I think Third will agree with me when we're doing the co-op. I still like to jump in a car every now and then and drive to my destination.
You haven't seen any of that stuff yet, but there are some missions where you lose your powers and you do have to get in a car. So they do try and – it's not, like – it's not something that is good to do in the open world.
At the same time, though, those missions are kind of not the best ones because you don't have your powers.
Yeah, there is a point to that, I guess, because you kind of get used to the powers because they give them to you so quickly. And then all of a sudden you don't have them. And then I found that we were playing the other day and I found that I'm like, okay, what do I do? I can't ground stomp. I can't do fireball. I can't do – what the hell am I going to do? How do I fight?
Yeah.
L2, oh, L2
yeah,
fight.
That's right. I have
and guns. That's how I felt as soon as that happened for the first time. And I was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, it's a good game. I really enjoyed it, but it is number 5 on my list. So Saints Row 4, number 5. Number 4 is going to be Gunpoint.
Ooh.
I did not pick up this game until long after it was released. I don't remember why I picked it up. I just thought, this might be fun to kill some time. And I fell in love with the dialogue of that game and how snarky your character can be throughout the entire game and just the gameplay itself. I thought it was probably this year one of the best stealth games that I ever played. And it's not really – I guess it's stealth, right? I mean, there's stealthiness in it.
Bad stuff happens when you get detected, so yeah.
Sure. And I thought it was the best case of the game – the name of the game, Gunpoint, where if you use a gun,
there's very little gun and pointing.
Not just that, but you have about 30 seconds to get through with the stage before you will be ultimately sniped and dead, even if you try to get to the exit. So no matter how much you do in that game, if you use a gun, use it and get out. It's not your end all be all. And I absolutely love that, that there's more of a fist pounding. That doesn't sound too good, does it? More of a melee focus in the game, which I absolutely liked. And I love that the one of the achievements was you can grab a guy and keep punching him, and then it just starts counting up how many times you've punched that person, stating that there is no more achievements past this point for punching someone. But the gameplay itself, the storyline, and the fact that at the end of it, it gives you a stats on how much you did and what you did in the game, I thought was really well done. I guess it's an indie developer, right? I can't remember who developed
it. Like I said, we come back to it. It's like one guy made that in his spare time in 3 years. Granted, it's so well written because he is a games journalist. It's the little things like being able to make multiple dialogue paths and just like the humor that comes out of that, or like the achievement. I mean, I think Stanley Parable, if that makes anybody's lists, will probably be under the same things of like that. That's funny that developers are now choosing, like, you know, what happens when you do pick the other door, decide to just keep punching a guy over and over and over again.
Yeah. Or more to the point, if you go to the achievement list and say enable achievements, you get an achievement type thing. So Gunpoint, that was my surprise of the year game. If we have that category of really good game, was not expecting it, and completely in one sitting blew through the entire game. Absolutely liked it. Number three did not make many people's lists that I heard of, at least, was Remember Me. I like the new kind of intellectual property that came out with this game, and the way that they presented gameplay based on rewinding or fast forwarding and rewinding time to make different changes. I think that was the big selling point for me.
Oh, so Prince of Persia.
Never played Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. That's true. You could not fast forward.
Yeah. And there have been many games where you can rewind time, but the fact that you can interact with the time that you have and change things.
Making time travel a sort of puzzle element, I guess, right?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I guess the puzzle based, you know, where I like Antichamber for its puzzles, I think Remember Me was as polished as it was, and still having puzzle gameplay in it and having a good story to tell behind it. That's why, you know, it is definitely right up there in my number three. There were some wonkinesses with the combat could have been completely redone. I don't like having to choose what each hit does. I thought that was kind of dumb. Just give me a gun and make it a shooter. Make it basically, what's that game? With
Mirror's Edge.
Make it Mirror's Edge with the ability to control time in certain places and change things around. There you go. That would have been perfect. But they wanted to rely more on your combat sense and how you want to. At the second punch, do I heal? At the fourth punch, if I've healed through the fourth punch, do I get more healing or whatever? And that kind of threw me off a bit. But once I got it down, I really enjoyed it.
I definitely like it. Sadly, there's just other games that beat it on my top 10. But I think if it did become something like a Mirror's Edge, they wouldn't have been able to do so much like detail to the world, because just some of those levels and some of that, like that design was just amazing.
And I think that's why it's really memorable for me. Like when I think back, if you ask me what games did I play this year, I will always tell you, you know, Remember Me will always be in that list. And because it was very memorable for me, it felt like, for me, it kind of felt like playing a lesser version. That sounds bad. It felt like playing Half-Life 1 when I was like awe and inspired and like, wow, this is pretty fun, but not as much as not that good. So it didn't make my number one, but makes my number three. So I really enjoyed that.
Both Tomb Raider and Remember Me, I think, were really good games that I guess just didn't get as much spotlight time as maybe they like were justly due.
Would you say it was bad advertising?
No, I mean, like, it was just like, even with all the advertising for both those games, they're really like games that are worth the value. I feel like maybe not amazing, but they try new things, and the developers should get some credit for doing stuff like that.
Sure. And I think the story that Remember Me sets up for you and tells you throughout the thing makes for a great world that they can play off of from there. So it may not have been a great initial push into giving you this new story, a new character, but they could definitely play off that if they decide to make Remember Me 2 or Please Remember Me, which is what I would like to call it, for a sequel. And, you know, give us more of the world and maybe more stuff. So, number two for me is going to be Dust and Elysian Tale. Now this came out, this came out on, not PS3, Xbox 360 last year, but it came out on PC officially this year. I didn't attend, but I watched the
PAX East panel where he announced a PC release.
Yeah, where he announced it, and listening to him talk about it, I thought, well, I have to play this game because he was so passionate about it. So I bought the game when it came out, and I want to say that I have not beaten this game yet because my controller crapped out on me. So, and you have to play it with a controller. I would not play it any way else. But the game, the art style, the music, the story, everything about it is a perfect little package that is absolutely wonderful. And I would beg any, but this would be a game that I would say any kid should play. Every kid should play this game. This harkens back to when I originally played Zelda for the first time. This is probably number two games, if I was doing it of all times, for me, to number one being Ocarina of Time, Zelda Ocarina of Time. Number two would be Dust and Elysian Tale for the story play and the tear-jerking moments in that game.
If you say it's a good game for kids to play, one from like, okay, if you're a kid who's into games, you should play this because it's a modern take on a lot of classic tropes.
Yeah.
Both in terms of like gameplay and story.
Sure.
There's a good deal of Castlevania and Metroid in there as well.
Sure.
And also it sort of shows you, hey, if you want to do a thing, do a thing. Because this game is pretty much made by one dude who just – he started it as a project because he just wanted to learn how to program.
Yeah.
And this is what was born of that project.
And the amazing thing about it is – for me, the amazing thing about the story and development of this game is that he had to get somebody involved helping him in the market, basically telling him, dude, you need to finish this game. All right, you can be in development for this game forever. You need to come up with a conclusion. You need to finish it. You need to polish it, and we need to ship it. And he had to pull somebody in, and I can't remember if it was a friend of his or somebody that he knew closely in the industry, but this came in and said, you have a great game here. You need to release this. And he just thought, well, I need to keep doing more to it. So he wanted to build so much more into the game. And I would have loved to have seen if this game would have taken 4, 5, 6 years to make, I would have loved to have seen his story behind that, what he would have come out with. So I'm hoping, you know, fingers crossed for another Dust Elysian Tale in the future.
Again, the same name, just another Dust.
Another Dust, exactly. And, you know, we will see. And my number
Dust
one.
Dust 2 in the wind.
Oh, Dust 2, it's in my eyes. Oh, my God, get it out. It hurts. It stings. Please stop.
Dust 2, go short A.
Oh, geez. All right, let's always go long A, first off. Let's next game.
All right, number one. Number one is going to be R.I.P.D. the game. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best take on a movie game ever created. Hands down. Thank you very much. Done.
Ever created?
Ever created. No.
All right.
Not really.
It's a terrible game.
Yeah, it is. It's a fucking mess.
Are you sure that's not the number one on your best games list?
Or best games.
Or my dark, it's my dark list, my light and dark list.
Okay.
So, no, number one for me is going to be BioShock Infinite. There was a lot of hype around this game when it came out. I loved the original BioShock games. Let me rephrase that. I never played the first BioShock.
Oh, so good.
Never played. I own it. Never played it. BioShock 2 was phenomenal. I my childhood just goos with greatness for playing that game. And BioShock Infinite put the most beautiful package together that I could ever imagine for a game. Story-wise, game-wise, and I will say even combat-wise, I liked the game the way the combat was done. I like a game that you do have to seek out for, you know, to find the whole story for the game. And in this case,
didn't you already, BioShock made your list too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I think what's been said already, unless anything else you want to add to it. I mean, it was number 9 on my list, but.
That's a bad list. But anyway,
like I said before, the tail end of that, like the tail end of that game really pissed me off. Like not with the story, but with the combat.
I will say the thing I will also reiterate, many people who have listened to the podcast with me on there knows that I love music, and that game, the
God only knows we know you
not,
love music.
Okay. That, yes. Thank you. That song was not what drove me. May the Circle Be Unbroken song. As soon as
I didn't realize that was an actual song.
Yes, yeah. It's a hymn. Catholic hymn, Christian hymn. And when I heard that, for the first time in a long time, truly just like felt really sad and happy at the same time and was crying. And then I stopped the game and started and just played and found that song, every iteration of that song I possibly could. So for me, the music of the game drove it to number 1 on my list because I thought it was really well done. The songs that they picked for the game was well done, but that one song in general, and when you walk into the chapel area in the first time, and you hear it just like echoing through the halls, was just breathtaking for me. And it felt like a very surreal moment. If that game ever has Oculus Rift support, I think I will put it on and I will just be sitting in that main chamber area from the opening for like hours on end, listening to it and just walking around. The game itself is beautiful. It was well done in my opinion. And the one thing I wish they would have done more is the combat could have been tweaked a tad with the fact that whenever I need something, Elizabeth sometimes couldn't throw it to me correctly. And I don't know if that was just my game or not. But other than that, the game was great. The DLC that came out for the game, which I'm drawing a blank on the name. Somebody help me.
Burial at Sea.
Yeah, Burial at Sea. I wish would have been longer because I think they did a really good job at that DLC. So looking forward to the second half of the DLC when it comes out. But ladies and gentlemen, that is my list. That is my top 10. Whether you agree with it or not, you can fuck off. But I hope you enjoyed it. So,
sweet.
Boom.
Who would you like to pass it on to?
I want to pass it to Thurbleton.
All right.
I'm going last. The definitive list is last.
number 10, Payday 2.
Ooh.
What was he say?
Almost bought that game.
You should buy it because, as mentioned on previous podcasts, the way they manage of multiple person stealth is a very interesting thing. Mm. Solo stealth.
I will say you should buy it as long as you have a group of people to play it with.
Definitely, yeah.
I don't know.
The only reason I would pick it up is because Thur plays it. I would never pick it up. Just go, I'm going to randomly play with someone that I have no idea.
Yeah. If you like that, your chance, if you buy it because you want a multiple person stealth, but don't like have any friends to play with, you're going to be in bad luck because a lot of the pub matches tend to be, loud or just go guns crazy, which I mean, it's a competent, shooter. It was the game that most like reminded me of like the way Call of Duty sort of like tightness and FOV and all that seems to behave, but it was fun. So that was that's number 10. Number 9, BioShock Infinite. But like I said, we talked about all that. The game was super crazy. The ending of it after about 20 minutes made sense.
Which you I thought was... You don't, the game doesn't, just let it wash over you. Just absorb it. Don't try to rectify everything that happens. Just go, okay, I get it.
No, I mean, like, that's just it. Everything makes sense. It did wash over me.
Oh, it did? Oh, okay. I thought you were going to be one of the ones that said, like, no, it didn't.
No, after 20 minutes, I was like, all right, wait, that checks out. All right, it's good. Okay. Number 8, Banner Saga Factions. Just, like, the art style alone impressed me, but the way they have their mechanic for... and really, like, this is just a prelude. I guess next year I'll be talking about Banner Saga Part 1. But just it was a lot of fun playing that game, and it seemed like a lot of people I played it with were new gamers, or at least people who weren't, like, traditional gamers. Because, ironically enough, I would start every match with, you know, good luck, have fun, and good game at the end, just abbreviated. No one understood what those were. It's like, what's GLHF? So a lot of people, I feel, should check that game out, especially because it's free. And when it comes to free-to-play shooters, free-to-play games, this is a very fair one. They are not trying to nickel and dime you. They're just trying to put the game out there for people to see before they release the full game. But yeah, like the mechanic of your health is your damage. Like your health rating is your damage rating.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't know that.
It's not like a 1-to-1 ratio, but like let's say you got a guy with 10 out of 10 health, he's going to do 8 out of 8 damage for the next attack.
Okay.
But if he goes down to 9 out of 10, his damage drops like 3 points. And if he gets down to like 1 or 2 health, he's only doing 1 or 2 damage to people. And so like that mechanic I thought was really cool on top of just like it's a nice chess game sort of game. So it's fun. After that, Dive Kick. The game was so much fun.
Love me some Dive Kick.
Plus, it's a game that, like, you know, if I have friends over or something, it's just going to be like, all right, we'll play this. How do you do it? Oh, you just press these two buttons. Go.
Yeah. If you don't know how to play it, guess what? You just learn in less than a second how to play this game.
And, like, you could be a master at that game, and your friend might still beat you. It's not a 100% thing. He might get lucky, and it's just that Twitch reaction timing, I think. Number 6, Metro Last Light. Which I don't think has been mentioned yet.
Nope. I don't think so.
I mean, like, it's... I played Metro 2033, I think a month before then, before Last Light came out. When it comes to, like, the big, like, AAA-ish shooters, I mean, like, Metro, it worked. It wasn't bugging out or anything, unlike other, you know, like Battlefield, for example. And it felt like the end part definitely felt like got more Call of Duty, Battlefield, big time shooter. But what I loved about that game was the environment it put you in and the mechanics that were like added on top of 2033, like having to change your mask, like filter your mask out, wipe your gas mask. A lot of the stuff you did on the surface I thought was really cool on top of like, you know, trading money. The story's not the best. But you can ignore that. Just, yeah.
The voice acting seems pretty poor, too.
Yeah.
I was going to ask a question related to that.
Please.
Do you think I'll be better served playing 2033 and Last Light in Russian with English subtitles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just, or not even subtitles.
Oh, God, no. I want to at least... kind of know what's going on.
You can piece it together as it's happening.
All I think I would understand is vodka. Vodka!
I think that's mentioned one or two times, yeah. Like, when it comes to story design and like, that whole thing, 2033 is definitely far better. But, yeah, Last Light, I just enjoyed the mechanics, like, the way the UI is presented, in that there really is none. You want to know how much ammo is left in your gun? You look on your screen and there's like the ammo is right in front of you on your gun. Assuming you use the SMG. I mean, everyone should use that gun.
Like Halo did that with the battle rifle or one of the assault rifles at some point.
I think Alien vs. Predator did that with
Yeah, I mean, it's that sort of design, but like, imagine if you will, like the ammo is on this, you know, horizontal slide that's going sideways, okay. Like a typewriter. Okay. And so as it gets more and more to the right and you see like you have this many bullets left, okay, I need to reload or I can take this guy out.
Is that, does Last Light still do the ammo as currency thing?
Yes, it still okay. does that. And that actually got kind of tricky when it came to like my one beef, I guess, is trying to change the way the game. Because there was one time I got stuck and I tried changing the difficulty. And because I was in Ranger mode, I couldn't change the difficulty to get past a part. Because I was just like, I tried it for like 30, 45 minutes and couldn't get past this part. I was like, oh, I'll change it. And I ended up having to use almost all of my special ammo to just take out this, you know, wave upon wave of guys. Or beasts, whatever. Anyway, so that's number six. Number five is XCOM Enemy Within. Which I think...
His thing.
Yeah, Shinboy, I think you played XCOM Enemy Unknown, or is anybody else here?
I played one match against Squiddle and beat him, and then I uninstalled the game.
Oh, why'd you talk right. that up?
Well, it was a fun third, like, you know, it's... top-down strategy game that I enjoyed. It definitely it didn't feel like a big strategy game. It felt more just like, you know, the story of my squad, or I guess three-person. Yeah, I had three different teams moving out, and it felt like something like a Stargate sort of game. Like, you know, it's this squad that's going out and doing work. And choosing to, I would definitely recommend playing that on Iron Man mode. Like, no saves allowed. Deal with the reactions, because if you try and... If you aren't happy with how something plays out and you just keep reliving it, it's just going to be this nightmare that's going to make you want to quit the game. So the fact that they have stuff like that. What was the other game? Fire Emblem, I think, does that?
Is known for having permadeath, like the whole series is.
Yeah. So just that is a very interesting experience to play. So that's why that made number five. Number four, GTA 5. I'm throwing up the numbers around, but yeah, that's basically a lot of things that like the reason why these made some of the list sometimes is because I finished it. Like I finished XCOM, I finished GTA 5. We've already talked about it, but yeah, that game's crazy. It's awesome.
Did either of you touch the multiplayer at all?
No, I kind of bought that game knowing I wouldn't be playing on the multiplayer.
Yeah, it sounds like a good decision. Once.
If and when it came to PC, I'd be doing it then.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't like having to pay for internet and also pay for multiplayer. So I got on Xbox, and there we go. I do not own a PS3. Number three, Saints Row 4. You're the president in the Matrix, and also they have a DLC called How the Saints Save Christmas.
Hey, Kinsey, you want to fuck?
And yes, the romance
God,
options.
So good. God, the romance scenes are so good.
Number two, Spelunky, as it became available for PC this year for currency. I'm gonna say it came out this year. That game is crazy.
I was wondering if that was gonna hit your list. I was hoping it would.
Yeah, I was
as much time as you have spent to that. I'm surprised it wasn't your number one, actually.
Well, I mean, okay, comparatively speaking, like Arma didn't make this list because that seemed like I spent too much time with that. And I came
but you became a hell of a helicopter pilot from what I've seen.
Yeah, I really enjoy like that. That is a great helicopter simulator, but that's not what it's designed to be. So that's why it's not on this list. It's an honorable mention. But yeah, Spelunky. I just everything about that game. I guess Polygon did a good review or good article about the Spelunky eggplant solo run, and I guess that you know. Set puts everything in perspective of just like how deep and crazy that game is. That was again made by one guy originally in Game Maker. The HD was there was a programmer who joined up with Derek Yu to make it its own thing for Xbox and PC. But words can't describe how crazy that game is, and everyone should give it a shot because and also it was a game that got me like 100% sold on controllers as game. Functions like I did a little bit with Saints Row and a little bit with Sleeping Dogs in GTA 5, obviously because it's Xbox only for when I played it. But yeah, That made my number two. And number one was Gunpoint. Not like it's
wow.
The game made the list, but because of the reason why it made number one was just because that is the game that has made me start looking into Game Maker. I mean, like, I've talked this whole podcast and all this year about all the different stuff that people have made by themselves, but Gunpoint is the one that's like, I could try this. I could try making games. And so that's hopefully will lead to an interesting 2014. But yeah, that's a cool game. Shinboy.
What do you got? The definitive list is here.
Okay.
Let's hear it. About damn time. Wasting time with all these not real lists.
I mean, we've just for the record, just pointing out, we have actually done more time preparing for this list than we have on this list. So we haven't wasted a lot of time of the people.
I had this list ready a little while ago.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
Because it is the. These are not my top 10 games of the year. These are the top 10 games of the year.
On top of the mountain in Valhalla, these exactly. were handed down.
The number 10 best video game of 2013 is The Stanley Parable. I thought it was super neat how it was both a commentary, or not both, but all-inclusive, a commentary on choice in games, on achievements in games, on game design, all that stuff all wrapped into one with super witty writing, a whole bunch of little hidden secrets, pretty solid voice acting from the narrator, a fantastic demo that is not a vertical slice of the game, but is its own little thing. Just its best experience for yourself. It's super cheap, especially now that Steam sale is going on. I don't know.
The demo is free. I mean, like that's
the demo is free.
That's a great way to introduce people to the idea that is that game.
Yeah, the concept that is that game.
Also, I think it's kind of weird that like we're talking about a lot of stuff that has been like it's available in currency or in some form now, but has been available for some time as like other stuff. Like
you are foreshadowing part of my list.
Oh, well, I'm foreshadowing Stanley Parable. That was a mod for years that people could see.
I played the mod slightly. I played just a little bit of it back in the day.
Like, if it hadn't come out in late 2012, Black Mesa probably would have made my list.
So, yeah, there you go. Number 10. Number 9 is Resogun.
Okay.
So, nice. Durin, I have a PS4, and it's on my list. That game's really fun. I'm a little bit further than Durin. I started unexperienced. So now I'm on level 3, a veteran, and for the life of me, I cannot beat it. That game's really good. Number 8 is Warframe.
Really?
Really?
The
free-to-play samurai shooter gun?
Free-to-play, ninjas play free is their slogan. Some of the free-to-play stuff is kind of gross. It's not as gross if you get it on Amazon because they're having sales and everything. But just the sheer amount of content in that game, and the fact that all the classes are unique enough that they have different play styles, but similar enough that you don't really feel like you're missing out if you don't have a specific one. Because like they can all use all of the weapons, and say you switch Warframes, your weapon level ups and weapon upgrades and stuff carry over from one Warframe to another.
I'm curious, is it like, because when it comes to like Payday is not free to play, obviously, but it's the same concept of just like, yo, you and this group are just going to keep like doing these same missions over and over. Is it does the repetitiveness of it get boring at all, or
no? Because there are a bunch of maps, and every map is designed to fit every game mode. So if you're doing, say, you have map A, B, and C in game mode X, Y, and Z, that just creates a bunch of different combinations right there. So you could be on map A for two times in a row, but you'll be doing different game modes, which will take you to completely different parts of that map. Because the maps are fairly large.
Okay.
So yeah,
are you playing that on PS4?
No, I'm playing that on PC.
Okay. I need to download it on PC then, because I wanted to try that game, but from what little I played on PS4, it just didn't seem great. But I think maybe just mouse and keyboard is the way to play it.
Yes, mouse and keyboard is the way. I mean, it's a shooter. Like, sure, you have a sword, but it's a shooter.
Is the build your dojo like an interesting mechanic, or are you in it for the fun of it? Like, you're.
We are starting to build a dojo. I'm not quite sure why, except other than the fact that we can. Like, the group that, you know, still plays Guild Wars 2, and we sort of hop around to different games here and there. We started our clan Heat of the Moment, where when you enter our dojo, the text that pops up is, we are the supergroup known as Asia. So we have an Asia-themed, Asia the Band-themed clan, I guess they're called. It's, I don't know, I like that you can design the layout of it. It seems like it's kind of hard to get a lot of stuff in there unless you have a ton of people. But we're slowly working on it. It's a fun thing. Sweet. It's neat that you get to customize your own little hall.
Did you pick the name in the heat of the moment? That was
my idea. Yes.
Yes.
Now, yeah, can like does your dojo play at all into like anything in terms of like gameplay? Like I'm trying to alliterate to.
Honestly, we haven't gotten far enough into it to know. But it says you can do like research projects, which I don't know what those are. I don't know if you get like boosters for XP or money or anything like that.
I think it's still like an early access game, but I feel like
I'm talking
the endless quest for mighty loot does an interesting way of like dealing
with the mighty quest for epic loot.
That's
I
don't know the name of these
things. Epic quest for mighty loot. Yeah,
but the way they handle like it is sort of player housing. It is your stuff, but also is like a dungeon that other people will fight in. I think is a neat thing. But yeah, that game doesn't come out until next year, probably.
Yeah, the way the co-op in that game works is great because no one can limit your party. So like, say you just get the game, like, or you just download and install the game now, you can get pulled into like my sort of later, not really late game, but later on missions without any penalty to either of us.
Sweet.
Which is kind of neat. So it makes it really easy to, like, the menus are kind of weird. It's kind of hard to figure out how to invite people sometimes. But the co-op, you know, works really great in that regard. You can just pull people in without really them missing out on much. So yeah, that's enough of that. Number 7 is Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Nice.
I didn't play Far Cry 3. I have it now, but I didn't play it last year. And that game, meaning Blood Dragon, is super fun, super silly, looks great, runs pretty well, and has better stealth than most stealth games, which I'm sure is true of regular Far Cry 3 as well.
Yep.
The way they relay information, which is that simple bar, mm-hmm. such an ingenious idea. It's just like a little semicircle that points towards the enemy and gradually fills up as they, you know, as you're in their view.
Well, and it's just having the natural cover everywhere.
Yeah. Like tall grass, walls. It makes it super easy. And also you run hell fast. So
you don't run nearly as fast in the regular game, but yes.
No, it's disappointing.
Being able to slide dive into cover is pretty great.
Yep. You are, I forgot, Rex Powerstone or some stupid name?
The stupidest name, but yeah.
Yeah, the stupidest name. And also the ending of that game, like the visuals on it and the way the mission plays out with the music and the final cutscene, super cheesy 80s action movie, but in all of the best ways. So yeah, it's also standalone, so you don't need Far Cry 3 to play it, which is a really smart move. And it was $15 and it's on sale during the Steam sale, I would assume.
So yeah. I'll try and get this out before the Steam sale ends.
Yeah. Number 6 is The Last of Us. The reason that is not higher is because the first third of that game is terrible. It is just bad. Okay. Up until, slight spoiler, until you leave Pittsburgh, then it's phenomenal. But before that, it is not so hot. Also, I don't think that game, in terms of story, the setting is super boring. The story itself, like the main story arc, is fairly straightforward. What makes it is the characters. They're phenomenally animated. There's great acting. And their writing is really good. But other than that, the story is nothing to write home about. But that is a game you play to see the characters that Naughty Dog have created. Also, the gameplay gets kind of, I don't know, I feel like it got kind of boring near the end just because it doesn't evolve much. Let's see. So I don't like stealth games that much, so maybe that is part of it as well. Number 5, Pokemon. I played X, just like Durin. He talked about Pokemon. This is the first Pokemon I've played since, you said Gen 2. I probably haven't played since Gen 3. So, yeah, Pokemon's really good. I was playing it last night, and I wasn't quite sure why, except I kept playing. number 4 is Tomb Raider. That game sort of surprised me. I played most of it during the Extra Life stream in one big sitting. And that was one of those games where I finished it and I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. And then the more I thought about it, the more it sort of seeped into my mind just how much I enjoyed it.
So yeah. You got to the very end, right?
Yeah, I finished it.
Just that cheesy ending with the, like, as the light ray hits, I was just so pissed.
Okay. This is a game of the year thing, so I'm spoiled the end of this game.
Whoa. I haven't finished it. It was on my list. It was on my list, but I haven't finished it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh.
Durin, just mute. We'll type in Skype when it's done, I guess.
I'll take my headset off.
Okay. I assume he is.
Yeah, no, let's go. We hurry.
Okay. So the final shot where she's just standing there with both the pistols. Oh, God. I was like, oh, man, this is the best. She's just standing there in the classic Tomb Raider pose, one pistol at each side, looking over the edge. Like, oh, man.
It's like, oh, she's using the pistols of her
also, because they waited until the very last, like, scene in the game to do, like, the biggest reference.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great.
But just, yeah, that part where the God rays were coming in, I was just like, God, damn, this is so Hollywood done. This is so making me angry. Yeah. All right.
No, I thought the last battle itself was fine. Just that last scene was, that last little look was amazing.
Sweet.
Okay. Tell Durin to unmute himself.
Okay.
I want him to hear my number three before we continue.
Okay.
Durin, you back?
Yes.
Okay.
The ship sinks is the spoiler.
God damn it.
There's a storm. I don't know.
But they can't explain why, what's causing it.
There's a smoke monster and a polar bear for some reason. It was real weird.
there's giant creatures that are attacking you at every moment in the game. And then you grab the gun, you shoot them when you got the arrow with the bow. And then you get the.
Next on the list.
Are you done?
Oh, wait. Hang on a second. I think I was completely off. Which game were you just spoiling the end of?
Tomb Raider?
Son of a bitch. I thought you were spoiling the end of The Last of Us. I beat Tomb Raider. God damn it.
Well, you'll have to hear about that.
Oh, that's great.
How great is that double pistol scene at the end?
Fucking, oh my God. I can't wait to see that.
So good. That might be best moment of the year.
God damn it.
It was so good.
So how was the end of Last of Us?
That was pretty great. Nice and cheery.
She goes.
Anyway, number three, going on the foreshadowing from before of things that were available elsewhere but are now available on other things. Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD Remix.
Ooh.
All right.
I love Kingdom Hearts. I don't care if that's weird.
No, I mean, like, it's an RPG that lets a lot of, like, it definitely seems like an RPG for grown-ups in terms of, like, game design and all that.
In terms of the mechanics, yes.
Yeah. But
that is fan service of the game, though.
Yeah.
The reason it's on this list is because, okay, the original Kingdom Hearts on the PS2 had one of the worst cameras in video game history. You use the L2 and R2 buttons to move that camera to the left and right.
Oh.
So this...
Stop playing that game.
This is why I say you should get this game, Durin, because this fixes all that. It is pretty much a standard third-person action game camera. And also... Yeah. They changed. I forgot what they changed. Oh, yeah. In the original, there's four options on, like, your menu on the bottom left that you go through with the D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
And all of your, like, you know, attack is on top or whatever. And in the original, whenever you would interact with an NPC or, like, open a chest or whatever, it would show up on the fourth thing, which would be blank otherwise. But you had to scroll down to get to it. And now they just sort of did what they did with Kingdom Hearts 2, which is whenever you're near something, like near an NPC or near a chest, it just replaces attack with talk or open or whatever.
Oh, yeah, like I should have done all along.
Yeah. Like it takes the camera and like other stuff of 2, like the controls of 2, and throws it into 1. So, yeah. And I played a little tiny bit of Chain of Memories. I played that game on the GBA. Card combat games are bad. but it looks great. It runs great. You cannot use the DualShock 4, which makes me sad. I tried it with both that game and with Kingdom Hearts 2 emulated. It's something with their movement code, I assume so, where if you move or a dead zone on the controller, where if you move the movement stick, the left stick, up and to the left, you walk every single time instead of running. And I don't know why.
Hmm.
like I said, it's not just a 1.5 HD problem, and it's I tried it with basically the PS2 game and the PS3 version, so it's got to be something with their code or with the controller. That's number three. You should all play it. I got the limited edition with the art book because it was the same price as the regular edition, and I figured might as well. Number two is Fire Emblem Awakening. I had not played a Fire Emblem game before, and I was sitting here playing this game wondering why I had never played a Fire Emblem game before. It's another game where, outside of the actual gameplay being just phenomenal, you're not there for the story, you're there for the characters. All the supports, which are like your, I guess like social links in Persona is a good comparison, are all really, really well written. The localization is fantastic. Pretty much no matter who you pair with who, you're going to get at least one either legitimately sentimental or hilarious scene out of it. Like, I married Tarja, who's like this dark mage with hexes and stuff, to Donald, who's this like good old country boy. And at the end, she offers him a ring because he was obviously like into her. She offers him a ring in exchange for him basically being a guinea pig for all of her hexes. It was pretty, and that's why they agree to marry. Like, he is legitimately into her, but she just wants a slave for her hexes and magic. I thought that was pretty funny. But all that stuff's pretty good, and it is super accessible for someone who's not been a Fire Emblem fan or played any of the games. But if you play that game without permadeath on, because that mode is in there, you should just stop playing video games forever. Just hang it up. It's over. So yeah, it's really good. Some of the later levels, that game goes from hard to easy to, oh my God, it's hard again really quickly.
It's nice though that like, it's like the problem with XCOM, for example, is once you've mastered the mid game, the end game is pretty straightforward.
No, not at all. Fire Emblem. Like, you could screw up one move and accidentally move a Pegasus Knight or something into, you know, range of what you think would be mostly melee guys, and there'll be an archer in the back with a longbow that you just didn't see, and then your Pegasus Knight will get one hit and they'll be dead. So one move can basically screw you over.
Nice. Like, so, comments or anything start raining through. I did lose two guys in the very last level of XCOM, but
the difference with XCOM and Fire Emblem in regards to permadeath is XCOM, they're just sort of soldiers. Like, you can recruit more.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just keep coming. In Fire Emblem, say you meet one of the characters, and you meet some of the characters really early.
Exactly true, because like for the end game, especially trying to get a private or something skilled up in time for a fight is a tough thing, but Fire Emblem definitely increases that by adding the romance.
They are characters in the story. Yep. They will talk in cutscenes. They have their own supports. If that person is dead, they are gone. And there will be no one to replace them. Which is something that has actually honestly scared me away from the series in the past, but I lost like two people. One person was an optional character that you recruited in one of the side missions. And then another one was a main character, so they didn't actually die, and they also weren't super useful. So yeah, they just sort of, I couldn't use them in combat anymore, but they were still in cutscenes.
I'm curious. I think Banner Saga might play a lot on those lines without having a lot of, I guess, risk of losing people in combat, though they do have some sort of permadeath as a mechanic. So that's something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah. And then my number one, just like Squiddle, is BioShock Infinite. I was completely, for lack of a better term, enraptured in this game from the moment it began till the moment it ended and sometime after. So yeah, I like the combat a lot. I actually think the combat-based DLC is pretty good because most of the problems with the combat in that game are not with the combat, it's with the level design.
I can agree. Yeah, that should have been what I focused on.
Because like, if you have all those arenas where you can fly around on skylines and jump off and combo vigors and all that crazy nonsense, that game is super fun. But if you're just in a hallway just shooting at dudes, that game is not as fun.
Yeah, that was my big issue too, was just like The two big times I got stuck were this fight, like where these guys just rushed me from across the bridge, and there's just I didn't have any good outs. And then the other one was where this handyman just kept chasing me on a skyline.
Yep.
And there was no way for me to get a hit on him.
Like the combat DLC sort of, if you want to see the game's combat at its best and you have the season pass, give that DLC a try. Because there's well-placed tears, there's skylines and all the maps. It's good stuff. So yeah, and other than that, I think everything that needs to be said about that game has been said at some point or another throughout the year. So yeah, that is the top 10 games of 2013.
Very nice.
None other. Yeah, so I guess that means what we have to get through.
Yeah, explain to us now, what lies before us now?
All right, so we each take our top three. So, for example, Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD, Fire Emblem Awakening, and Bioshock Infinite for myself. And we'll throw, and then, you know, all of your top threes, and we'll throw them into a big pool, grab a top three out of that group, and then a top one out of those three.
Okay, does anybody have a Google Doc already open?
Yeah, I can adjust the sharing. So I guess we'll be right back after this break. All right, and we're back with the power of editing. It's like we never left. We now have compiled a list that I guess we'll have Squiddle read off. But the way we're going to do it is we're going to present to you guys, we're going to try and present three games between the four of us that we think are the ScotchCast's best games of the year, which I don't really understand why we are doing this. But
because it's fun.
Yeah.
Because we need to have a consensus. We need to have... Mostly what we want is we want a game of the year, but especially because of the rule of like we haven't all played all of these games, and so you know our top game needs to be something most of us have played. We need to have kind of the two runners up be something that somebody can maybe, you know, represent their game up there even if we didn't all play it.
Like the reason
that game of the year lists are bad people.
It's not that I don't think game of the year lists are bad. It's like the one benefit I see to game of the year lists are introducing to people who may not understand, like know those games. Like it's a good way to be like, all right, here's sure. like what this game is about. Check it out, yo.
No, because people have always compared media to other things in that same like form. It's like it's been going on forever with music, with movies, with literature.
Sure. Album of the decade.
Yep.
Oh, that'd be tough.
Time. One.
All right, so Squiddle, yeah, can we go ahead and start off on this? This right now is in no particular order.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the list, starting with Gunpoint, Spelunky, Bioshock Infinite, Saints Row 4, Super Mario World.
Super Mario 3D World, to be specific. Super Mario World came out ages ago.
Rezogun, The Last of Us, Dust and Elysian Tale, Remember Me, Fire Emblem, and Kingdom Hearts HD numeral or Roman numeral 1.5 RE capital MIX.
I hate Square Enix so much.
Square Enix is the best.
It's kind of interesting. Like Square Enix has done, like did that, but also Tomb Raider and like the.
No, this is the side of Square Enix that
made the game.
That released Final Fantasy X-2 and Final Fantasy XIII-2.
Like they also made Final Fantasy XIV. It's just like it's crazy that we're getting like a love-hate relationship with that developer.
And to bravely default
when I say hate them, I mean that I love them, but I hate
Final Fantasy XII International Zodiac Job System.
God damn it.
Wow.
Didn't they also do Sleeping Dogs?
I don't know. I'll check.
Anyway, I propose for now, for this first round, we'll go around and each of us decide to cut something.
Well, everyone else has to agree to that cut. Let's just say that.
We'll propose a cut, and then
I cut Kingdom Hearts.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yes, they did do
Shin Boy.
Look at this list. Just because it'll piss Durin off, let's cut Super Mario 3D World.
I wish one person.
You're the only one who's played it.
That's what I mean. Like, I wish one other person here would have played it, because then at least it would have stood a chance.
I mean,
for, even
don't,
third.
Don't be Rory. Just take it like a man.
Durin, are you gonna fight? Do you think it's one of the top three games of the?
I think it is, but given that there's nobody else here to argue for it, it's not gonna get anywhere. I already know the Nintendo hate that exists on this podcast.
Here. If that makes you feel bad, can I pick a different cut, or is that out, or is it done?
It's done.
It's going to be out next turn anyway, so whatever.
Okay.
Durin, what is your cut?
Oh, man. I'm probably going to have to – this seems like kind of a cop-out probably, but I'm going to have to cut Remember Me.
Okay, that's fine by me.
Yeah, I mean, like, I really enjoyed it. It didn't make my list.
The general consensus seemed to be that it was just a mediocre game.
Well, a lot of that game is amazing, but the gameplay is just nothing to write home about.
It seems like a game that I would like to see what they do next with it.
Yeah. Like, I was really interested in it. I was sad to see where it went.
It's an honor to be nominated.
I always have a hard time with these because I feel like the story should overshadow what the gameplay is in many aspects.
Unless the gameplay is bad.
Unless you can't finish the damn game, then yes, I can completely agree with that.
Okay, this is going to sound weird, but from this remaining list, The Last of Us?
No.
Yes, I'm okay with that.
I can't
have that cut. No.
Okay.
Not this early.
All right, BioShock Infinite.
Nope.
What?
No.
there's too many other games here.
This list is not indie enough for Thurb. I'm going to remind everyone listening to this podcast right now that this is coming from a man who lives in Portland, Oregon. So
yeah. Well, I guess since my two didn't pass, I guess can I just keep picking stuff? Or I guess we'll go on to the next person.
Well, you can pick
something else.
I think you have to pick something until we.
There are plenty of things that I would cut from this list.
There are definitely weaker games than the two you just picked. Yeah.
Like Resogun. Do we want to cut that?
I really, really like Resogun.
I really enjoyed it, but
it's not a top three game.
Not for a consensus list, no.
All right, sweet. I guess that goes back to Squiddle.
Oh, yeah. I just want to make sure you cut the right thing.
That's why I'm shading it instead of deleting it.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, I know. It's getting tough now.
I really want to cut Last of Us because I don't give a flying fuck about that game.
It's this weird thing where I don't like if I wanted to experience a crazy story, I almost would rather watch a movie.
But here's the thing, though, Thurb. Like you said, like
I haven't played it. Yeah, I know.
That is a game that you would like to have a PS3 to play
because the mechanic of it seems interesting.
Also, Durin, you're not at that point yet. But there is a point where that game just gets super fun. At least it did to me.
Does anybody have a coin I can flip? God dang it!
Just pick one, man.
All right, I'm gonna pick Spelunky.
I'm fine with that personally.
Not because I don't think it's a good game, but there are other top three games on this list, and I don't think it can hold a candle.
Also,
a lot of people who make those games really like Spelunky. it's amazing how many game developers love that game. But yeah,
I know that's great and all, but you're the only one who's played it.
I'm the only one who put up a fight for it. I really think you guys should play that game.
I gave up on Super Mario. You need to give up on Spelunky.
only because I'm going to put the fight in for Gunpoint instead. So, yeah, Spelunky can...
You were the one who said it's an honor to be nominated.
Yep. Shinboy, what would you like to denominate? Or to
denominate.
De-award.
You got, what six games left?
Shinboy?
Out of this list,
you played all of the games that are left here.
So. I have. So I'm in a privileged position here. Well, hold on, hold on. I didn't put my name next to Gunpoint. Who put my name there? I didn't play Gunpoint. That being said, Gunpoint seems super neat, so I don't want to cut it. I really like Dust, but I think we should cut Dust.
I can agree with that out of context because it was released last year, but I just got into it because of the
yeah. So that's so. Even though I've played it, that's my cut this round.
All right, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so
can we reorganize this list so we can?
Yeah, well, I guess while Durin is figuring this out, we'll.
No. Actually, there's not a figuring out. I need input mm-hmm. here because you guys need to explain to me as somebody. Explain to me what makes Gunpoint so great, because I have not played that game. I want to play it. I plan on playing it, but that seems like the most cut from here.
This is going to be a weird, like this might be a throw in the dark comparison, but it's like Portal in that like the mechanic of it, the crosslink, was really super impressive. It's short, but it like. It being long might be a disservice to it.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think it
is extremely well written.
Yes.
A game that I haven't played, but I have a lot of respect for.
And it was made by one guy, which is super impressive. And I think the fact that it has like alternate choices, like especially the ending there's two different endings to it. It's super impressive.
Can we gray out Dust? I keep looking at that.
I'm trying to make a new list on the right.
The fact that at one point you can talk to somebody from, let's just say A, and then say B contacts you, and then you say, no, I haven't been in contact with A, and completely flat out lie, and then go on with the story, and then it creates choices based on that. Like Derp said, this is very well written. And the gameplay adds a lot to it. The power-ups that you can get in the game are really well done. They're not just kind of like gimmicky thrown at you that you could pick from. That's the only way I could sell it to you, to be honest.
Okay, well, here's what I'm looking at is I'm not going to take the easy way out. I'll let somebody else do that with Fire Emblem because I feel like that's not going to make this cut.
I mean, we're at five games now. We're at Gunpoint, Bioshock Infinite, Saints Row 4, The Last of Us, and Fire Emblem.
So here's what I'm thinking is if I'm not going to cut Gunpoint, do you guys really want Gunpoint on here over Saints Row 4?
I really do.
As someone who has played Saints Row 4, I would rather have Gunpoint on there than Saints Row 4.
I would agree with that.
Okay, so I'm cutting Saints Row 4.
Okay. Fine by me. Back to the well one too many times. That's how I see it anyway. The list on the right, you can straight up delete it from.
Yeah. So I guess it's my turn?
Yep.
Yeah.
You are the last cut.
Fire Emblem.
I love that game so much, you guys. I agree with you. Like, I need to let it go.
I would rather see Fire Emblem than The Last of Us, but that's
Like, yes, that game is great for people to get into, and like for what I said, not 10 minutes ago, it should be on this list because it's a great way for people to get into it. It's not the first game, and they didn't really introduce anything crazy.
It is the best game in that series, which has a ton of games in it. I love that game, but seeing as I'm the only one who's played it, that's a fine cut.
I mean, Shinboy, if we cut like Bioshock, for example, next year when we're making this argument and I'm trying to defend Banner Saga, would you join? Would you have my back?
Wait, you're talking about cutting Bioshock? Are you insane?
I think he's trying to make a point.
I mean, Thurb, I understand that Bioshock is not indie enough for you. but I don't know if you remember, but I had Fire Emblem at number 2 and Bioshock at number 1. So I don't know where you're coming from that you're thinking I'm cutting that game.
All right, so Fire Emblem. From what it sounds like, it's either, I guess Shinboy will make the call, Fire Emblem or Gunpoint. Are you okay? See,
I'm the only one who has played Fire Emblem, so Fire Emblem is a cut that I understand.
Okay.
So our last three then are Gunpoint, Bioshock Infinite and The Last of Us.
You guys really like Gunpoint. That kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it did. The interesting part about this is, following our rules that we had for our top spot, Bioshock Infinite kind of by default would win that. Are we all okay with that?
I say we at least have a little discussion.
Like, what do we want number two to be? Let's have this like some game shows where we'll announce number two, and then the tenseness is down to who's number one and who's number three.
I think three should be The Last of Us.
No, I mean, like, as much as I love Gunpoint, I think Gunpoint should be number three.
I think Gunpoint is a great package,
or at least
small as it is, and I think it produces more in that small package. Well, like I said, I never played Last of Us, but
The Last of Us is an emotionally draining game.
It really is.
Like, it in some ways, it kind of does, I guess, what Patrick described Papers, Please as doing, but with actual fun gameplay. Like a game that you actually
the first half of the game, that fun is debatable.
Well, but and that's your opinion on that. But even then, like even that first part of the game, I've even been enjoying that as even though that is the weaker part of the game. Like it is fun gameplay that it's an entertainment that you enjoy the same way you would enjoy a movie like Schindler's List, where you can't say that like this is an entertaining movie. In this case, you know, it's not that it's a, you know, a fun romp through this fantastical world, but
the gameplay has a things satisfaction that happen that can just, to it.
The gameplay definitely has a satisfaction to it. There's a definitely kind of a I hate saying this because I hate it when like Patrick is the one that brings it up, but there is kind of a combat puzzle to the game. Yeah,
my combat puzzle is hit dudes with a bow and arrow. Or a brick. That is it.
I what if we pull back Saints Row 4 and get rid of Last of Us?
No. There's no way.
Just because you're biased against The Last of Us for some unknown reason.
Saints Row 4 is a decent game, but it does not hold a candle to The Last of Us.
What about the Bioshock DLC as opposed to Last of Us?
No. I don't know. What do you have against The Last of Us? I don't understand. It's rare that you will see me come to this game's defense, but go ahead.
Okay. So and I'm going to get a lot of flack from people for this, and I will take it. I chalk it up to the same reason why I'm not a big fan of the Beatles, because people shoved it down my throat my entire life that they were the best band and the only band in the entire world, and you should worship them as gods. And I feel that people have done the same thing for Last of Us. Granted, I never played it, but I don't think that any game should be touted that high, even Bioshock Infinite, to the point where I'm just tired of hearing about it.
Like, yes, I can understand it to some extent, but if the game is deserving of the praise, then like even Jeff, like who doesn't enjoy the gameplay, he's super bummed that he doesn't enjoy the gameplay because that story goes places that you just want to see it through.
Okay.
I'm going to make a proposal for this list to be Gunpoint, Bioshock Infinite, Last of Us.
Wait, what?
Last of Us at number one, no way.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying the other way around. I was like, wait, hang on.
Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, Last of Us is first.
No.
I could argue for that. I don't know that anyone else would argue for that with me. And the reason why I would argue for that is, again, going back to Bioshock Infinite, why I think it would be an inferior game to The Last of Us is because I felt like the combat wasn't very good and did detract from the story they were telling with that game. It was a game that should not have had combat.
The last combat – okay.
That said,
I haven't seen – The Last of Us is broken into seasons, right? I'm going to get a little spoiler-free explanation here. This is not a spoiler. The Last of Us is broken into four seasons. Those are the four big main chunks of the game. I'm not a big fan of Summer and – actually, I'm not a big fan of most of Summer. I like the end of Summer and I like Fall. Winter is fan-fucking-tastic. Spring, it gets tiresome. That game, no matter how much you like the combat, near the end there are some stretches that it just gets – I don't want to do this anymore.
Too combat heavy.
It's not that it throws too many enemies at you.
Okay.
So I would the core gameplay loop gets disrupted.
Well, I mean, like BioShock Infinite's the same way for me. It's there are times near the mid to end that, like, not the stuff in the tower, because that was just like weird, but okay. And definitely played with an interesting way of, like, I have to manage my ammo and use my powers instead. But there are some of those
section was a little bit I felt like it was way too combat heavy. Like, yeah. It was the one part where combat made sense, and so they just threw so much combat in there.
Okay, so the last part, the last big combat scenario of The Last of Us, it sort of gets away from what made that game good in terms of combat by just handing you an assault rifle right at the beginning.
Hmm.
And throwing way too many dudes at you. So it's sort of telling you, hey man, just shoot your way there. Which is
it just kind of becomes like Gears of War.
Yeah, but a way worse version of it.
Well, yeah, with Uncharted aiming.
It almost sounds like Walking Dead's, like, I can't remember which part of the game it was, but there was this scene where, like, you go around with an axe and just murder, like, a 20-some-odd zombies, and no one enjoyed that part.
So as much as I wouldn't like it, what if it was BioShock, Last of Us, and the Gunpoint?
Gunpoint, and... I'm telling you guys right now, I am
not understanding the order you guys are giving these, because Derb was saying that Gunpoint was third. Are you saying Gunpoint is still third?
Okay, I'm talking first through third. So I'm saying BioShock first, Last of Us second, which I'll give Last of Us this day, and then Gunpoint last.
That's how I would order it.
Okay, I would be okay with that
list. Yeah, I'd be okay with
that. That's how we're doing it?
All right, yeah, sweet. That sounds
right. Stone. So let it be written. So let it be done.
Presented and, to you, the listener.
And Dota 2 is 2.5.
God damn
it. Yes. In front of Gunpoint, just to piss
Kick this man off this podcast.
We have, here's a list coming in third, Gunpoint. The second is The Last of Us. And the first, Ride to Hell, Retribution.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Loco Cycle.
Sweet jumps.
Loco Cycle, yeah.
BioShock Infinite.
Coming in at first, Thurb's Bitterness.
It's ever so bitter.
BioShock Infinite.
Right, I guess, do we want to end with plugs? I mean, like, I agree. Hell of a game. Hell of a season.
What a season.
It's been a crazy year, you guys.
It was actually a pretty damn amazing end to those consoles, I would say.
I mean, like, I guess a good way to end this instead of plugs is just, like, what are you guys excited for? Like, what has been the crazy time this year, or, like, what are you excited about for next year?
Let's do next year.
Yeah,
let's think forward.
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah, if you have nothing to look forward to next year, I guess.
And I'm sorry.
Banner Saga, for me. I'm super excited for that.
I'm interested. I wouldn't say excited. I'm curious.
Oddly enough for me, the thing, it seems like this is the answer for a lot of people, but it's really strange for me given that I have not given a shit about a competitive shooter in a very long time, but I am oddly really interested in Titanfall.
PC version?
PC, oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to be building a new PC around the time that game releases, so
nice.
It's going to be fucking hot shit.
That'll be fun. But I'm looking forward to Cyberpunk 2077.
That's not coming out this year. Jokes.
that's like 2016. Come on.
No, I would probably say mine's a toss-up between Titanfall and Watch Dogs.
I mean, like,
Watch Dogs is never coming out ever.
I think last year I was excited for Quadrilateral Cowboy. I don't remember the name of that. But yeah. He says it might come out next year.
I thought it was out.
No.
Wow.
He's doing live streams on YouTube of him developing the game, but that is not out at all.
Oh man, yeah, I forgot about that one.
What is this?
That's the game where you like learn to program.
Oh, okay. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he needs to hurry up with that game.
So, Shinboy, what are you excited about for?
I want to fly to Poland and have CD Projekt Red inject The Witcher 3 directly into my veins.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep.
I played The Witcher 2 like for the first time. Oh, I finished it for the first time. I played most of it actually for the first time this year, a few months back. And that game's great.
Yeah, I like
CD Projekt was great.
Does it seem like, is it just me, or is that a better like Game of Thrones type game than like a Game of Thrones game?
No, because like, well, it does have its fair share of political intrigue. But if you're looking for like a low fantasy, it's probably your best option in games.
Sweet. All right. And then Squiddle, I believe, is, have you said anything yet?
Yeah. I mean,
you said cyber.
Yeah. That's a hope, but
I can tell if that was a joke or not.
The game's not coming out next year.
Witcher 3 will come out before that. But, between Titanfall and Watchdog, probably Titanfall because I know it'll come out and I am really interested in that. Now, what's that one that the Bungie team is doing?
Destiny?
Now, is that coming out on a PC, though? Is that
They've announced it yet, which means so. Probably not.
If it does come out on PC, yes. If not, fuck consoles.
Bungie are the most cocky motherfuckers when it comes to this shit. They were just like, we invented the console shooter. I'm like,
yeah.
Rare would like to have a chat with you.
Yeah. I guess I'll set in stone. I'm really hoping for Watch Dogs. It does look like my kind of game, even though Titanfall will probably come out before that does. I'm really, really looking forward to Watch Dogs.
Nice.
Hope that game's good.
Yeah, Watch Dogs. I'm really hopeful that game lives up to the hype. Because it's been so hyped at this point. I don't know that it's going to live up to it. I really fucking hope it does, though, because it looks great.
I am looking forward to a Fallout 4 announcement, hopefully. Oh. Because since this year was all about hardware at E3, I'm really interested to see what they do in terms of software at E3 2014.
I would say that's another game I'm most excited about is E3.
Oculus Rift? What was it said about Oculus Rift?
I want to hang out with Greg Kasavin and have him slip me an early copy of Transistor.
Okay.
That game's going to be great. I played it at PAX. It was fun.
I still can't find my signed CD
Darren Corpse. I have my I took that the poster that we got and I blew it up. It's in a Staples Copy Center envelope on the other side of this room.
Nice.
Yeah. Video games. 2013.
Madden 2015.
Madden 25.
Madden 26. My name has been Thurbleton. Connor Kirby.
I'm looking forward to NBA Live 415.
I think we all are. Or not.
Okay, let's end this shit.
Yeah.
See you guys next year.
Yep.
Peace. RIP to the game. Play it, bitches.
Don't, please.
Wait, how am I not dead yet? Okay, now I'm dead.